to PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lenman. My guest today is Paul Craig Roberts. Paul has been on many times before. I think listeners know him well. So many issues going on, Paul. So many things that concern you, concern me. My goodness, we could throw a dart at a dot board and come up with all kinds of good ones. But let me let you jump in on what's, dare I say, most on your mind. I know there's lots on your mind right now, but let me let you start off with discussing maybe your latest article or other things that you're most concerned about.
Well, Stephen, do you remember the freedom and democracy that we brought to Iraq?
Oh, yes, indeed. How well I remember that, and so much I wrote about it. And, of course, Iraq is literally a cauldron of violence.
Well, according to the headlines in the British papers today, the Civil War has already begun. And this is a statement of the Iraqi government as well. So it seems like what we did in Iraq was to destroy a country, to destroy a secular government that was probably the strongest enemy of al-Qaeda by claiming that this enemy of al-Qaeda had connections to al-Qaeda and convincing the inattentive American public that Saddam Hussein was somehow associated with 9/11. We destroyed a country and left them now in a civil war in which the violence is as high or perhaps higher than during the failed attempted U.S. occupation of Iraq. So why aren't there demands for accountability? How can the Bush regime and all of those people and the neocons escape accountability for this disastrous result? You might remember that when this invasion started, the neoconservatives said it would be a three-week war. I think it was 8 years before we gave up. I paid the insurgents to stop killing our troops by putting them on the U.S. Army payroll and left with our tail between our legs. So what did we achieve? We destroyed a country. And now there's rampant violence. People say it's worse than Syria, another country that we're trying to destroy on equally false pretense. Why is it the media can't say, hey, look, if you were this wrong about Iraq, how do we know you're right about Syria? Instead, it's all this rah-rah, it's time to... And not only that, but in Syria, who we are allied with is al-Qaeda, because al-Qaeda is allied with the principal insurgent group, the principal military force in Syria, trying to overthrow another secular government. And we now have come full circle, Washington has come full circle, and is now supplying aid to the force in which al-Qaeda probably is the dominant partner. So, but there's nothing about this. There's nobody saying, how in the world did this come about? How did this happen? Where's the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, ABC, Fox News? Where's anybody? This is the most absurd thing one can imagine. We have clear proof that the United States government lied through its teeth about Iraq, took us into wars, 11 years if you count Afghanistan, 11 years of war, $6 trillion, according to Joseph Stiglitz, which has doubled the federal debt and threatens Social Security, Medicare, the entire social service system. And there's no accountability. We're now giving aid to help Al-Qaeda overthrow a secular government in Syria who's never done anything to the United States whatsoever. How does a government get so out of kilter? What in the world is going on? What's wrong with the American people? They sit there like they're deaf and dumb and blind. This is the most extraordinary thing. Why is Western Europe laughing in our face? Why aren't they laughing, saying, you, a superpower, you don't have enough sense to exist. Look at the mess you've caused. You're so incompetent.
It's shocking that other countries go along with us in this kind of a policy. And in your latest article, you write that we are the hope. But the polls, and I just wrote about a couple of polls that show Americans are largely indifferent about what's going on. They're simply not paying any attention to this. They forget what happened in the run-up to the Iraq War. Just bald-faced lies for months and months, and we had the attack. The occupation, there are still U.S. super bases in Iraq with contingents of U.S. troops on them. The same thing is going on in Afghanistan, except the war is raging there. I mean, these countries have been destroyed. Libya was destroyed. Syria is being destroyed with the U.S. proxy death squads, invaders. And the same lies are happening now that preceded the Iraq war, Libya war. The Afghan war was just a few weeks after 9/11, so the lie machine didn't get a chance to get cranked up. I mean, the public was strongly on the side of George Bush and believed the idea that some guy in a cave managed to pull off an attack on America. It's amazing how you can get people to believe the most preposterous kind of stuff. You just say it and keep repeating it and keep repeating it, and people believe this. And in the middle of a national tragedy, it's easy to get people very angry to want to do something about it.
Well, you know, it's hard to avoid the conclusion that the American population is idiotic, moronic. And
I sure agree on that.
Where is their moral conscience? Where is their integrity? And look how readily they accept the police state. I mean, look at this Boston Marathon bombing. 10,000 heavily armed troops, not just police. With tanks, the entire Boston metropolitan area, 100 square miles, shut down in curfew, daytime curfew, because they're looking for a 19-year-old suspect who's unarmed and all shot up.
Well, I grew up in Boston. I know exactly where this incident took place. I'm very familiar with it. I spent enough time there. I haven't been back to Boston in many years, and it's been a long time since I lived there, 1950s, when I graduated from college. But I know the situation, and I wrote about it in one article. I'll mention it again. I don't think people realize what happened in Boston, where this vast area, city of Boston and surrounding areas, were literally placed under martial law. A constitution was suspended. It wasn't depicted that way, but that's exactly what happened. No constitution, martial law, people, ordinary people who had nothing to do with anything going on, rousted out of their homes, pre-dawn, in their pajamas. Some of them were handcuffed, put on the ground with their face down, and if they disobeyed, they could have been shot. And you had SWAT teams and police and government DEA agents and alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, and FBI was involved. As you say, thousands of forces on U.S. streets could go anywhere. And if they banged on your door and you didn't answer, they'd probably use a battering ram and just break in and maybe consider you a suspect. So literally what happened in Boston, which is what I want to stress, can happen anywhere. And if it can happen in any other city, it can happen nationwide, and it might not just be for a day or two, Paul. It could literally be a national emergency declared for any reason. You know, the public will buy this kind of stuff. And literally, we can have a martial law situation, and people will be convinced to give up security, to give up a freedom in the name of security. And as Ben Franklin explained,
it is going to happen.
Best of all,
that was a dry run. That was a trial run. to see
if
the public would accept it. And what did the Bostonians do? They got out in the streets afterwards and cheered the police and chanted, USA, USA, USA. And did you see the film of the two families who were interviewed about what was it like to have these armed people in your house? And the father holding the little girl said, well, they came in our house and it was scary and they pointed rifles at our heads. I had my daughter in my arms and they forced us out of the house, but I'm so thankful. I feel so safe that the police are doing their job. And then they asked
really
a woman
shocking.
How she felt about it. She said, well, it was scary, but it's just the police doing their job. So it's the job of the police to invade homes of people, force them out in the street at gunpoint. What's wrong with these people? What in the world could be wrong with them? They can't realize that the Constitution has just been raped in front of their eyes, that their rights have disappeared, and that there's no reason for this, no objective reason. I mean, who could possibly think these families were harboring a so-called Boston Marathon bomber? This just blows your mind. I mean, the country's lost. I think you and I can talk ourselves blue in the face. The country's lost. They can't proceed. They go out in the streets afterwards and cheer. Oh, thank you for coming in, destroying our Constitution, our civil rights, all in order to get some guy that you say is a suspect, but you never showed us any evidence why you thought he was a suspect. You just showed us a film and said that was him with the backpack. See, look, he's a suspect because there he is in the film. That's the only evidence the public was ever given. They've given no evidence of the so-called murderous rampage after the bombing. The alleged robbery of the 7-Eleven, the alleged hijacking, the alleged killing of a campus policeman, the shooting of a transit policeman. There's no evidence. It's just claims, reports. No one's ever seen the hijacked car driver. And what sense would it make for terrorists who want to escape to commit more acts of terror to cause attention to them in such outlandish ways? Why would they release a carjacked person so he can report the tag number to the cops so they can find them easier? None of this makes any sense. None of it. None of it. And here are the people. Oh, we feel so safe now that we have a Gestapo police state. I mean, these people are idiots. They don't deserve, it's like Benjamin Franklin said, they don't deserve liberty or security.
Paul, it's so true. I wrote a number of articles on the Boston bombings, and the entire official story is so full of holes. The older brother was murdered in cold blood. There were images of him surrendering. I don't think he had anything to do with this, or the younger brother, but there were images of him surrendering. He was lying prone on the ground. He wasn't wounded, as official reports said. There was no weapon near him. There was no blood. He had his arms extended over his head, and when he got to Beth Israel Hospital in Boston, the attending doctor said his body was riddled with bullets from head to toe. They murdered him in cold blood. I'm surprised they didn't kill the younger brother, too. Maybe they tried, but he survived.
And the neighbor was watching.
I don't know what condition he's in now.
Well, we don't know. That's right. No one's seen him. You know, it's very funny, too, because the story was that the younger brother was shot through the throat and shot multiple times and was in serious condition on life support. He's on life support, but the very next day, the media is reporting that he's signing written confessions. How do you go from being on life support to signing written confessions? He can't talk, they say, because he's shot through the throat, but he can sign a written confession the very next day. This is absurdity. These shootouts, they never took place. There's no evidence of either one of them. In fact, there's definite evidence that the second one did not occur. The whole thing's on film. What happens? There's a kid lying motionless in a boat. He gets bombarded with stun grenades over and over and over. He's motionless. Then they fill him full of bullets. He's unarmed. He wasn't even able to respond to the boat owner who found him. If he's so dangerous and armed and there was a shootout, why didn't he shoot the boat owner? This whole thing, it's also transparent, and the people just can't see, they can't understand this. Oh, well, it's what the report said. It's amazing. I mean, I don't think that, I think liberty's dead in America after this. This is a complete demonstration that the American people are so completely stupid that they will accept anything, even if it's obviously false. They will accept it if the government says so.
Well, that's exactly right, Paul. And it really shows us where we're heading. We have endless imperial wars abroad, trillions of dollars spent. We have a police state at home that keeps getting hardened. It's going to get meaner and tougher. And I agree with you about Boston being a trial run for what's coming. I'll bet you anything, something else is going to happen. They'll pick a strategic time for whatever. I mean, they usually time these things very strategically. I'm surprised that CISPA didn't pass in the Senate. If failed in the Senate. The House passed it, but they did before, and the Senate turned it down. This corporate empowerment bill, where literally corporations can access any of our personal information, pass it on to government or anybody else, that failed in the Senate. I thought this was a setup to get that bill passed. And there's other stuff going on, other police state measures where our freedom will be taken away from us. I think some of that stuff will pass. So all of this stuff ties together. And we know what happened after 9/11 from the Patriot Act, to the Homeland Security Act, to all the other police state laws, and Obama advanced his own with, NDAA. Arresting U.S. citizens, putting them in a military prison, even with no evidence whatsoever. I mean, this thing just goes on and on and on. We're literally heading for a full-blown police state, and you've talked about tyranny, and I've talked about tyranny, and we're really on the cusp of it.
It's already worse than Gestapo Germany. It's already worse. And like you say, it's going to get far worse. And remember now, the reason for all of this was that we had to combat Al-Qaeda. And now we're supplying Al-Qaeda with aid in order to overthrow the secular government, the non-Islamist, non-terrorist secular government in Syria. So here we are. How come we have to do all of this to protect ourselves from Al-Qaeda when we are supporting them?
Well, that is so true. Al-Qaeda is a CIA invention. The Mujahideen, as we remember, Paul, back in the 1980s in Afghanistan, and a well-known picture of Mujahideen fighters. I guess they must have been in the Oval Office with Ronald Reagan. I've seen the photo, but I didn't see a caption saying where the photo was taken. It had to be in the White House, but the fighters were dressed in their usual garb, and there they were, and they were called the equivalent of the moral equivalent of America's founding fathers. So these same Thai people have become our enemies, but they can be our allies and our enemies at the same time. They were our allies in Libya against the Gaddafi government, and they're our allies in Syria against the Assad government. And at the same time, they could be enemies someplace else. And you're right. And there are branches, this al-Nusra. I guess it's an affiliate group. I don't know how they relate to each other, but basically the same thing.
Well, Al-Nusra pledged allegiance to Al-Qaeda. You know, that was even our media reported that. So they pledged allegiance. The two have essentially joined in the fight against the Syrian government, and of course that's the side we're supporting, the so-called rebels. Of course, the rebels are, for the most part, not Syrians. They're outside military forces that our Middle Eastern puppets supplied with weapons at our instruction.
Yeah, indeed, Paul. Absolutely, indeed. And al-Nusra was declared a foreign terrorist organization by the State Department, but they're getting U.S. weapons. And there's a lot of Saudi money involved in this. The stuff is coming in. The weapons are coming in from the countries bordering Syria. I think it includes Israel as well. Israel borders Syria on the Golan for sure. And you've got Jordan, you've got Turkey, Lebanon. So the weapons are coming in this way. And even the New York Times last year, I wrote a story about the CIA stationed in Turkey funneling weapons cross-border to these insurgents. When you see the New York Times write a story about this, they forgot about it because I took them to task in another article. They basically ignored what they had written some months earlier, and they had a different scenario they were reporting on in terms of the conflict in Syria. But I quoted them from their other article. I mean, CIA is very much involved in this. CIA is involved in all of these kind of things going on. And then you got 20,000 U.S. troops either in Jordan now or coming to Jordan that will be positioned along the Syrian border. I don't think they came there just to deploy more U.S. troops in the Middle East. I think they came there for a reason. Whether they're going to invade or not, I don't know.
Well, they'll just create more lies, like Syria's using weapons of mass destruction.
I think there'll be a Libyan scenario coming where NATO will get involved and there'll be a big bombing campaign, and the infantry will be these insurgents on the ground.
Yeah, could easily be that. And clearly, the American media is either deaf, dumb, and blind, or it's a propaganda ministry for Washington. Because none of these obvious and truthful things that we've said get pointed out. You might think by now that New York Times would have editorialized and say, how come we're supporting Al-Qaeda when we created a police state to fight it? But nothing happens. So the media is useless, and people who sit in front of it just get brainwashed. That's the only function, is to brainwash the public. And the Americans seem to be very easy to brainwash. It's an extraordinary
issue. Sure. And at the same time, we see the U.S. economy absolutely wrecked by these policies that have gone on, and you should sure have written plenty about that.
Yeah, and today we had the fake employment report, in which they claim 185,000 private sector service jobs were created. So, you know, last month, they said there was only 88,000. Well, I bet the Bureau of Labor Statistics got in serious trouble for that. So now they've got the message. So they've created all these fake jobs and stuck them in the report. So everything is manipulated. Nothing. We can't believe anything the government says. None of its reports. None of its claims. I mean, who really believes that the Syrian government would use chemical weapons when we have made it clear from the beginning? Don't you remember the line in the sand, the red line, Obama himself? If they use these weapons, we'll have to go in. So why would they use them? They obviously didn't. But we said they did. Or Washington or somebody there said they did. Well, obviously they didn't. It's stupid. They know better. And so it's clear they're going to destroy another country. Unless somehow the Russians or the Chinese are able to prevent it. I just don't think they're ready for that kind of confrontation. But it's coming.
It really is coming. And I don't think the Russians or Chinese are going to step up to the plate and stop it. They could draw their own red line in the sand and saying, we absolutely will not allow another invasion or bombing of another country. That's a non-belligerent country. International law is being trashed. We're not going to put up with this. And they have their own interests in the region. And they know that both of them are the final frontier. If America knocks off all the independent states, the only two left are China and Russia.
Yep, that's right, but I don't think they're ready for the confrontation.
Well, it's a deplorable situation. I think we've got less than a minute left. Just I'll give you a final thought.
Well, the Boston Marathon bombing happened on the very same day that the Battle of Lexington and Concord. So it makes me wonder, are the authorities sending us a sublingual message that, hey, look, you guys, the revolution is over. The American Revolution is dead. Why that day? Why did it happen on the day the American Revolution started? The same day of April. And that makes you wonder. And it's not, was it just a coincidence? Or did they pick that in order to make the people aware scared? Because if the people who are aware are scared, they shut up. And since the people who are not aware don't know anything anyhow, then that gives the government complete control over information.
I'm afraid it's so true, Paul, and I absolutely dread what's coming. So much awful stuff has happened so far, and I dread how much worse it could get, and I really think it will get much, much worse. Paul, it was another important program. I look forward to having you back. I wish we could go on together one day and talk about all the good news we're so happy about. I should live so long. We both should live so long.
Yeah. Okay, Stephen. Good to be with you.
Thank you, Paul. And a quick reminder, join us over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Make it a regular habit.